Welcome to the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast. Show notes, links, and contact details can be found at robnunphoto.com. That's www.robnunphoto.com. SCL is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network, and loads of other great tech podcasts can be found over at www.techpodcast.com. Now on with the show. Welcome to SCL 104, the Subject Composition and Light Photography Podcast, hosted by me, Rob Nunn from robnunphoto.com, and it's my little attempt at recording my attempts to become a better photographer and sharing them with everybody else. Now, I'm actually recording this on Saturday night rather than my usual Sunday evening, because everybody's in bed after we've had a quite a hectic day. We've been to Chichester today looking at all the shops, and I thought it would be a good opportunity to record the podcast a little bit early, so maybe I might even get it in the feed a little bit early tonight as well, if I can get the notes written up. It's going to be quite a short podcast tonight. I'm going to be doing a review of Henri Cartier-Bresson, The Modern Century, a new photo book I got a couple of weeks ago for my birthday. We've got a new sponsor for the podcast, which I'll talk about in just a minute. And I guess I'll just start off by, gosh, it's been a week for photo books, because obviously today I'm going to talk about The Modern Century by HCB, but also through the post I've got another couple of photo books. One by David Bailey called Look, which is a really small little book. I should have guessed it'd be small, because it only cost me about £7. Small but perfectly formed, I guess I'd call it. It's a collection of Bailey's photographs with descriptions about all of them, going from the beginning of his career right through, I guess, to sort of the present day. Lots of his famous images of, say, the Crays and Jane Shrimpton, the Beatles, Mick Jagger. Obviously, we know Mr. Bailey liked taking pictures of his wife quite a lot, so there's a few images of her. The famous image of Jack Nicholson. Really fascinating little volume that I've enjoyed looking through today. Printed beautifully as well, and bound, in an old-fashioned way with proper thread and everything. But I'll talk about that in a future podcast. And I also got another book which I've had a quick flick through, but I really want to sort of settle down and enjoy this with a nice cup of coffee. It's a book called The Americans by Robert Frank, a famous photo book from the 1960s, 1950s, I think. It's Robert Frank was a photographer who got a grant from the Guggenheim Foundation to basically drive around America taking lots of photographs. And for the first time, it kind of showed this other side of America from the 1950s, the kind of back streets of the United States. And it was quite influential at the time, still is, I guess, at that sort of street style of photography and photojournalism. The difference between this and lots of other books is, I think that Robert Frank actually he chose all of the photos that are in the book and the order that they're in. So I'm looking forward to, instead of just flicking through it like I am now and just randomly looking at photographs, just sitting there and reading it. I've read the intro by Jack Kerouac, which is quite interesting. I've never read anything by him before. He tends to use quite long sentences. Looks like a really, really good book. I bought it just because of the fact that so many people talk about it and say, what a great book it is, and I thought, time to buy something like that. Okay, but before we move on to The Modern Century by Henri Cartier-Bresson, we've got a sponsor for SCL. So who is it? Well, the sponsor for the podcast, the first sponsor, hopefully it won't be the last, is GoToMeeting. Now, you've probably heard about GoToMeeting on lots of other podcasts, and what's it all about? Well, GoToMeeting is a I guess you could call it a program for your PC that allows you to have a virtual meeting with people from all over the world. So imagine you've got to do a presentation, or you want to show somebody some slideshows, or you want to show a whole team a sales pitch. Instead of getting everybody together in one sort of expensive hotel meeting room, what you can do with GoToMeeting is you can all be sitting at your PCs at home or at the office, wherever it is, in different parts of the country, in different parts of the world even, and you just get everybody to go to GoToMeeting.com, log into the meeting with the meeting number, and then they can see what's on your computer, and then you have voice over IP talking, so you've got phone calls for everybody going through the sort of same system, and so you can all discuss what's on the screen. You can show people things, go through spreadsheets, go through presentations, etc. Show them all sorts of stuff. So imagine you've got some people in London, perhaps maybe you're in Southampton, other people up in Edinburgh, but you're all talking and you're all looking at the sort of the same screen on your computer. So it's very much interactive, and it's 10 times better than your normal conference call. If you've ever been on conference calls, I've been on lots, they are so boring. Basically, you normally end up just sort of sitting there reading the paper while the boss kind of goes just kind of reads stuff out. But with GoToMeeting, because you're all looking at the computer screen, it's so much more interactive. Everybody's really involved, and it's a great way of doing things. Now, you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. All you've got to do is go to, I'll give you the URL now. You go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. So I'll say that again. So it's gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts. So you go to gotomeeting.com/techpodcasts to get your free 30-day trial. You can try it out, and then if it works out, then you can start the subscription. And obviously, if you're doing it for business, you get the business to pay for it. So there we go. GoToMeeting, our first sponsor on SCL, the Subject Composition and Photography Podcast, and hopefully it's going to be a nice long relationship with those guys. So gotomeeting.com/podcast, sign up for the free trial, and see how it goes. Right, so review Peter Galassi. So who is Henri Cartier-Bresson? Maybe you've heard his name already. He was and it still is probably one of the most famous photographers in the world. Sadly passed away, born in 1908, died in 2004, and he's famous because he took great photographs, but you could also argue that he's the father of modern photojournalism, because he was one of the first guys to really pick up and use the small 35mm format cameras. So if you can imagine, now these days we're used to compact cameras, aren't we? Even our SLRs are fairly small, but the majority of people have got compact cameras. But if you can imagine, before compacts came about, or even film compacts, everybody would be using these large kind of box cameras that you had to slide film in and slide film out of. And so it was a very slow and cumbersome process. You could take great images, and you could argue that the quality was better, but it was very, very slow. But when Leica took the movie film format and chopped it in two, and came up with the idea of, instead of having film on lots of plates that you would slide inside and outside of a camera, instead you had the film on a roll, so that you could have like 36 exposures in one camera and just wind your way through it. That was quite a revolution that, to start off with, was treated with skepticism by the old pros. You know, they'd said, they're toy cameras. You know, 35mm will never last. You know, you haven't got the quality of medium format. But Henri Cartier-Bresson was one of the first guys to really take this type of camera and really run with it and take advantage of the fact that it's a small camera. It's unobtrusive. You can really use photography in like a stealth mode. And he took it to heart, and he kind of travelled the world taking lots of fantastic images that still resonate with us today. often when people talk about Henri Cartier-Bresson, they talk about the decisive moment. And the decisive moment was the title given to one of his first books when it was published in America. But in essence, the decisive moment is an intersection of a few things. You could say it's an intersection of the scene in front of the photographer and that the composition he or she chooses to make from that scene. And then the actions and the movements of the people within that scene itself. And then at some point, when you have, you know, these people moving through the frame, or maybe they're doing something, you will then have the decisive moment where all these things come together to create a great photo. And that's the point where you take this, press the button, or, you know, you take a few shots as all this stuff is happening, so that you can extract the decisive moment out of it later. But in fact, as you'll see with this book, Henri Cartier-Bresson was very much, he wasn't a case of, you know, take lots and lots and lots of photographs of the same thing. You know, he would be very selective in when he would press that shutter button. So anyway, so after taking up photography, after initially being very much interested in painting, in the 1930s, Henri Cartier-Bresson was prowling around the great cities of Europe, like Berlin, Brussels, Warsaw, Prague, etc., meeting people like Robert Capa. And then the war came along, and he was a prisoner of war until 1943, when he managed to escape and joined the French resistance, helping them out. Then after the war, he travelled to America, and along with Robert Capa, David Seymour and George Roger, formed Magnum, which was this new photo agency that was different because it was owned by the photographers. And one of the things that they held as very, very important was the fact that a photographer should hang on to the rights of their photos even when they sold them to the likes of Time magazine or Life magazine or Picture Post, etc. And then the guys and girls in Magnum then sent each other off all over the world to cover different parts of the world. Henri Cartier-Bresson went on to cover things like Gandhi's funeral in 1948. In 1949, he was covering the Chinese Civil War before the Communists won. A little bit later, after Stalin's death, he was one of the first Western photographers to go into the Soviet Union and photograph in there. So he's known as, you could say he's the definitive 20th century photo journalist, working on private stuff and also lots of picture stories. We don't really have picture stories anymore in magazines, but what would happen is, in a magazine like Life, they would dedicate, you know, 10 to 12 pages, sometimes less, sometimes more, for a particular story about something, but the way the story would be told would be with photographs. Imagine you opened up, I don't know, your newspaper, and instead of having 3 pages not really a newspaper, but a magazine inside a newspaper, you know, instead of having 3 pages of text with a few photographs, you'd have 10 pages of all photographs to tell a particular story. And we don't really see that anymore, so it's a bit of a shame. And Henri Cartier-Bresson took lots and lots of photographs. I think the figure bandied about is about 500,000. You know, there's stories of him, he would buy film in bulk and be winding it underneath the covers of his hotel bedroom, sort of winding his own cartridges to put in his Leica 35mm rangefinder cameras. But on to the book. So, Henri Cartier-Bresson, The Modern Century, published by Thames and Hudson, put together by Peter Galassi. Really big book, sort of, I don't know, is it about A4 and another half, I would say. So it's a really nice big book. Produced to accompany the exhibition of Henri Cartier-Bresson's work of the same name, The Modern Century, held at the Museum of Modern Art in New York this year. I think it's just finished, actually. And this is a very nice book indeed. I think it's quite expensive, about £40, I think. I got it as a birthday present, so I was very, very lucky. But if you're into Henri Cartier-Bresson, or want to get into Cartier-Bresson, and you've got a bit of cash to spare, this is definitely a good way, because really it includes almost all of his famous photographs. It starts off with the, I guess you call like an introduction to Henri Cartier-Bresson, him as the artist, as the photographer, as the man, as the traveller, as the photojournalist. It's a bit wordy for me, but you know, it's worth going back and rereading it a few times. And then we get into the photographs, and yeah, it's just an amazing collection. It's printed on beautiful paper. The images are all black and white. Apparently did do a bit of colour work, but I don't think there's any in this book at all. It starts off in number order, you know, date order, and then as we move on they start to chop and change things around. And I don't know, there's not much really I can say, apart from there's an awful lot of photographs in this book. How many are we looking at? Let me see, does it say in the front? I think it's, is it about 400 photographs? Oh, right, here are 456 reproductions in colour and duotone. So that's a lot of photographs for your money. And yeah, and quite a lot of text as well. There's a good bit at the end, which is really the chronology of Henri Cartier-Bresson, you know, where he went from month to month, from year to year. So if you're really into following somebody's travels, you can go through all that with maps and references, and yeah, very interesting indeed. But for me, you know, the most important bit, and the bit I'm most interested in, is his photographs, and they're here in abundance. You know, the portraits are here, the famous ones of say Jean-Paul Sartre in Paris in 1946. Picking out some favourites here, what else have we got? I really like the one of William Faulkner and Truman Capote in the 1940s. I mean, I guess for most people, me included, Henri Cartier-Bresson's most, I don't like to say outstanding, but the photographs that really catch the eye are the ones taken in the 1930s in Europe. And like, there's a picture from Madrid in 1933 of this fat bloke with a hat on walking through this square, and behind him is this wall with all these different sized windows in, and it's other pictures in Spain. You know, there's loads there. And so, well, I won't say much more about it, apart from the fact that Henri Cartier-Bresson, the modern century, definitely worth getting if you're an Henri Cartier-Bresson fan. If you're, you know, thinking about getting into a bit of Henri Cartier-Bresson and seeing what it's all about, this includes the history of the man and most of his most famous photos, so it's definitely worth getting for that. Or maybe we'll start to see it in libraries over the next few months as well, because it is a pretty new book, and obviously the exhibition is, I think it's just finished at the Museum of Modern Art in New York, but it's probably going to go on to different places and maybe travel the States and hope maybe come over to Europe as well. So there we go. Yeah, Peter Galassi, Henri Cartier-Bresson, The Modern Century, essential read for any Henri Cartier-Bresson fan, or any photography fan at that matter. Okay, well, that's it for me for this week. Thanks to everybody, as usual, for taking part in the Flickr forum and putting their photos in the Flickr pool. Superb work going on over there. Thanks to everybody for commenting on the blog over at robnonphoto.com. Thanks to our new sponsor, GoToMeeting. Enables me to earn a couple more dollars a month to start saving up some more photographic equipment. Thanks to Everyday Jones, who do the intro and outro music. You can find their stuff for free download over at podsafeaudio.com. But most of all, thanks to you for taking the time to download and listen to the podcast. My name's Rob from robnonphoto.com. You can email me scalespeeder@gmail.com. That's scalespeeder@gmail.com with any questions or comments about the podcast or the blog, and hopefully pretty soon I'll see you on Flickr.